got so blue. We heard just singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
And thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday morning. Maria Chalaios, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls 801-575-8255, or you can text us your questions at 57500. This morning, we're going to start out the show with our Ivory Homes Keep Utah Green, a Spring of Hope green tip. And Ton, today we want to talk about landscaping to attract and conserve beneficial insects. And what are some things that we can plant that really do that?
Well, there are lots of things out there that we can plant, and I think the important point here is to plant a diversity of flowers and to make sure that the flowers are single flowers and not double. So a double flower has a lot more petals, and it's harder to see the middle of it. And so, you know, anything in the mint family, you do want not actual mint, but mint family plants, anything from the carrot family, so dill and coriander and fennel are three from the carrot family. Anything from the daisy families are usually very useful to beneficials. And the reason you want to plant a diversity of flowers is you want things blooming at different times through the year. And what will happen is you get a lot of beneficial insects in your yard that not only live off of the flowers, but they prey on bad insects, you know, thrips, aphids, spider mites, which aren't technically insects, but a lot of the times we have problems in our yards with those kinds of pests are because of a lack of diversity. And the other thing it'll do is actually greatly reduce the amount of insecticide spraying that you need to do because you have natural predators to take care of it.
All right. When you say a diversity, how closely together do these need to be planted? You're just talking throughout the yard.
Well, it depends on how tall the plant is going to get. And so if you're planting something like goldenrod, especially old-fashioned goldenrod, that's going to get 3 by 3 feet. And so when you plant, it'll look a little bit bare the first year, and you might have to use a little bit of mulch in between, but it'll fill in. And so you need to pay attention to how big the plant will be 2 or 3 years down the road. And so a lot of these have old-fashioned forms that get a lot bigger, but they also have dwarf forms. And so it's more just paying attention to the size in a few years down the road.
Okay. And you say a diversity of insects as well. Like, I mean, what do these each attract?
Well, the obvious thing that they attract are pollinators, and it's not just honeybees. We have a lot of native bees. We have a lot of native hoverflies. But what it also does is creates habitat for predator insects that will, you know, lacewings, ladybugs, click beetles, a few things like that, that will live in different areas of your perennials and your annuals that you plant, and they will hunt and knock out a lot of those pests to levels that are mostly undetectable. You still may have a few around, but the benefit is that you rarely have to use an insecticide.
All right. And today's Keep Utah Green tip, a Spring of Hope from Ivory Homes. And thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. The number to call, 801-575-8255, or you can text us your questions at 57500. Our next texter, Ton, asking, when is the best time to divide a bleeding heart?
When it goes dormant in late summer or early fall. So what will happen are bleeding hearts will come out now and bloom like crazy until mid-June, when we're consistently above about 85 degrees is when they start to slow down and go dormant. So you want to let them go fully dormant through July, and any time through September into October is a great time to divide them.
All right, let's take our next call from Keith in Orem. Good morning, Keith.
Thank you. My call's a grass call question. I have my yard out back is, my house sits level, fairly flat to the ground, so my yard out back has a lower level and an upper level. The lower level against the house is the width of the house, about 20 feet deep. I have the lawn just has raised dirt, little dirt deals, and I assumed it was night crawlers years ago. I've wondered about rodents. I've not been able to figure out what it is. I've never seen the holes, but just a bunch of raised bumps. And I want to know if it is night crawlers or what I can do to get rid of whatever's in it and what's the best way to alleviate them.
Well, you would see night crawlers when we get a lot of rain or you irrigate. If it was night crawlers and you were out there fairly soon after, they would be on the surface because of a lack of oxygen in the soil. And so if you don't find night crawlers after heavy rain events or after irrigation, it is probably something else. Now, do you mainly find these lumps in the spring or is it through the year?
No, they come out worse in the spring. I mean, they're there. They got, it's like they're raised an inch to 2 inches with the top of it's just dirt on the top. And I don't normally see night crawlers after the rain. I'll be honest with you, or the water.
Okay. Yeah. And so I don't think that it's, it could be a little bit of night crawlers, but you also may be seeing some of this from frost heaving, which when the ground freezes in the fall and in the winter, the water expands in the soil and the soil can only compress so much. And so in the spring, you will oftentimes find a lot of small mounds in your grass from frost heaving because of the frozen soil. That could be some of it. Now, on your soil itself, is it more of a clay or a sandy texture?
No, it's more clay.
Okay. So it does hold on some water, and it very well could still be frost heaving. And then how often are you watering?
Well, usually during the summer, every other day roughly, or every third day. But like now, after,
okay, and then
I have watered now, and they've come up, like, to me, they come up during the winter months, and now, right now they're really bad out there. And then it seems as it goes later in the year, they kind of decrease and don't, not as bad. But go ahead.
Okay. Have you checked your thatch layer just out of curiosity?
No, not really.
If you have around a half inch of thatch, that's considered healthy and a sign that you're not overwatering. And so if you're not overwatering and you have around a half inch or less of thatch underneath the grass, I suspect that this is more just frost heaving and with irrigation that it kind of diminishes through the summer because you're not seeing it new in July and August, and that it's just something that you may have to put up with.
So when you say frost, it's just the moisture and the movement of the ground with the temperature changes,
yeah, the,
right?
Yes, temperature changes, it freezes the soil, and as water freezes, it expands.
Right.
And the soil doesn't have anywhere to go. There's areas actually in Wyoming that the soil freezes so deeply that if you use T-posts in the soil, they frost heave right out of the ground. And so a lot of the ranchers, one of their big chores in the spring is to go repound all the T-posts because of that water action in the soil actually thrusting the posts out of the ground.
And that could be, I mean, because of the lowness of the, because it's sunken from the rest of my yard, so it's going to get more water slope or more melt from snow down into that area. Any ideas to cure it, fix it, help me?
Well, I would try aerating to see if you can make the grass healthier in that area and thicker, because that will help diminish it a bit if your lawn has deeper roots. And so don't over-fertilize. You may consider a soil test just to make sure that there's no excessive nutrients or that you need to add anything in. But a healthy lawn will it'll be less noticeable in a really healthy lawn.
Correct. And the reason it appears to be moving to my side lawn a little bit more and getting worse, anything on the clay soil I can do, is it more susceptible to clay than sand, I would guess?
It can be. It's just that the clay, it takes longer to break down because it glues together more tightly than sand does. And so it can take longer to get rid of that way. The things you can do are aerate in the spring and fall, to make your soil a little bit more loose. Make sure that you're not overwatering. You know, normally if I heard someone watering every other day, I'd be like, oh, you can't do that. But in a heavy clay or a more clay textured soil, you may have to water for 10 or 15 minutes every other day because the soil can't absorb any more water than that. And that's why I wasn't like, oh, you need to space those irrigations out. Now, if you can, that might force the grass's roots to go a little deeper, but you need to experiment with that a little bit in clay because sometimes you cannot.
All right, Keith, thank you so much for your call this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Tawn, we are getting a number of calls and text questions about necrotic ring spots, so we're going to answer those questions coming up when we come back. So Kathy from Orem, we're going to answer your questions as well as take the call from Bob and Dave. Stay with us on the KSL Greenhouse Show.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for taking us along with you on this Saturday morning. Maria and Tawn taking your questions at 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. I can tell, Tawn, everyone is very anxious or has been out in their yard already. We have just a ton of callers and a ton of text questions this morning. One of the big questions, though, has been about necrotic ring spots. So let's take a call from Bob in Holiday. Good morning, Bob. What is your question?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I've been told by our lawn care service that I do have the ring spots in my backyard, and they're going to start treating it next week. But I'm wondering what causes it.
A fungus. The necrotic ring spot more shows up in the spring and fall, and you'll see the hook-shaped dead areas in the green grass that will eventually turn into rings, hence the name. But it's a fungus that gets in there, and it's really common and honestly overly maintained turf. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing, because all lawns that are Kentucky bluegrass can get it. But we see it a little bit more commonly in lawns that are heavily fertilized and maybe mowed a little bit too short and slightly overwatered.
So I have a lawn care service that says they're going to start treating it next week, but I'm wondering, is there a certain watering schedule you would use on that, certain times a day or how much?
Well, I will say their timing on treating it is about right, because you want temperatures around 70 degrees consistently. So that's when the fungus is most susceptible to being treated that way. But when you water, you want to water deeply and less often. So that maybe twice a week, so that water penetrates 6 inches to a foot into the ground. But in between then, so you have two major irrigation events on those other days, you might use the B program on your clock during the hottest part of the year to spritz the lawn for 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes in the morning so that it seems to help the lawn recover a little bit more quickly.
Okay. With the spots that are there, can I overseed that or plant to get
you new most certainly can. You most certainly can. Now, did your lawn company say if they're going to be treating with fungicides or fertilizer treatments? Did they give you a program detail?
I think they're going to treat it with a fungicide, and they said it would
okay.
Probably take 3 or 4 treatments through the summer. They're going to start the first one next week.
It can. Now, you can download Utah State University's fact sheet on necrotic ring spot. So just jump online and Google USU and necrotic ring spot, and it'll come up. and it'll give you details on what to do. But if you were to top dress, what you would do is places like Steve Regan and probably others will actually carry a grass mix called necrotic ring spot resistant grass. And in those areas, you would top dress in the spring and fall to start some of those grasses that are going to be far more resistant than the lawn that you have.
Okay, so there is actually a grass that you would plant. Is there?
Well, fescues and ryegrasses are either highly resistant or immune to it. It's Kentucky bluegrass that gets it. So, and there's resistant forms of Kentucky bluegrass too. And so I'm not sure the exact grasses in these mixes, and they may vary a little bit. Some other things you need to check are your thatch layer, because necrotic ring spot seems to be far worse in lawns that have a lot of thatch.
Okay, I can do that. Well, okay, I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks for your help.
All right, thanks for your call this morning. Kathy in Orem has also been waiting to learn more about necrotic ring spot. Ton, she's heard a lot of conflicting information. She wants to know how and when and with what. She doesn't have somebody coming out to treat her lawn, so she wants to know how, when, and with what to treat it.
Well, there's not a once-and-done treatment for the disease. You really have to manage the lawn to get it healthier, in addition to maybe doing some fungicide treatments and some correctly timed fertilizations.
Right, which is what you've been talking to Bob about.
Yes. I wish I could say, oh, go get this one product and it's gone. And necrotic ring spot is chronic. It doesn't just go away. So the timing is coming up, and they could use something along the lines of a granular fungicide such as F-Stop. Their Bayer and Ortho have them out there too. If they wanted to go a little bit higher octane, they could get a commercial fungicide such as Pillar. There's others out there. But the next couple of weeks are going to be critical to get that fungicide treatment down. They've become far less effective as you go through the summer. But the other things, you know, the correct watering, spritzing the lawn, fertilizing maybe half applications twice as often to keep the nitrogen levels a little more even is something you can do. And then if this isn't working, you know, then you may look at top dressing in the spring and fall with some of these resistant varieties.
All right. Thank you for your calls and text questions this morning. We're getting to them as quickly as we can. Again, the number to call 801-575-8255, and you can text at 57500.